New Zealanders want and deserve a transparent and comprehensive inquiry into the COVID-19 response, not another whitewash. That's why RCR is bringing you a special segment aimed at examining the terms of reference, as well as what the country's best and brightest minds believe should be put on the table and why. The inquiry sessions will endeavour to unpack everything we already know and all the things we still don't know about how the COVID response was handled and what needs to be included in any new inquiry so that New Zealanders can get answers, justice and a future free from government overreach. Welcome to the inquiry sessions.
Welcome back to Greenwash. This is Jaspreet Bopara here with my co-host, Don Nicholson. And yet again, a reminder that the New Zealand COVID inquiry is open currently till the 24th of March. So not long to go for that one to end. And the question that they are asking us is, giving our inputs into the terms of reference and what learnings can there be for, you know, what all of us went through in the last 4 years for any future pandemic. Now, I don't know about you, but just the even wordings of the couple of questions that are being asked there instill no sense of confidence in me, and neither do the commissioners who have been appointed to this one. But this is certainly a time when all Kiwis should make their voices heard. This is an option, an opportunity we have. And while it's easy, and I would say it's almost a human tendency to forget what happened in the last 4 years and, you know, just put it behind us and carry on, there's some of us who do not want to do that, for whom all of this is pretty raw. And we do want our stories out there so that we can ensure this is never, ever repeated again. And one of those souls who have had the privilege of meeting over this time is here with us, joining me and Don on Greenwash today. It's a farmer, Andrew Jackson from Owaka, not far from us. Welcome, Andrew, to Greenwashed.
G'day, Jaspreet, Don. How are you?
We are well. Thank you so much for taking the time, Andrew. I know you're a busy man. Now, you know, as I was speaking to Don earlier and I was telling him, I said, you know, had it not been for COVID, I doubt even Don and my paths would have crossed. And I have absolutely no doubt that I would not have crossed paths with you, Andrew, had this nonsense that was inflicted upon us not come to pass. How have you dealt with all of this?
Well, certainly I've met a lot of different people because you tend to congregate with people who have similar concerns, and you go to certain events to educate yourself, to find out what's, because let's face it, there's some varying views out there. And sometimes you have to have an open mind to go, well, what's all the fuss about? And I suppose I did have an open mind. And I had a mutual friend down the valley who we went to a few meetings with Rob Wilson.
Yep.
And we were fairly shocked about what he was telling us. This was before COVID.
Yeah.
So it probably made me aware that there could be something happening, but I didn't really want to believe it. I think I said to Michael coming home from a meeting, if what Rob is talking about is true, that's the end of our pretty little life with not having to worry about anything.
Yeah.
And now we're in a position where we are concerned about many aspects in the world, some of us more concerned than others, but I think for those of you who think that it's all rosy, you probably need to just go and open your eyes and have a bit of a look around and ask yourself why 23 or 24 of the European countries, the Economic Union European countries, are protesting. So that's 23 out of 27 countries. Well, that's significant. And do you think they're all wrong? How can they possibly be all wrong? So there's something going on here.
Yep, there most definitely is.
And so just to do a bit of history here, you've been farming about 25 years, would that be right, or maybe longer, Andrew?
Yeah, about probably not quite about that. Yeah,
so you've gone through some ebbs and flows, as we know, the farming fortunes, but, you know, I imagine you would say that things were pretty good leading into, say, 2020, relatively. You'd had some highs and lows, but you got your business and your farming life on an even keel, as most farmers had by 2020. What's happened since? Because there's been some big changes for people, big changes.
Yeah, absolutely. Things were cruising along pretty good. You're making plenty of money probably, and things were good. And then this COVID thing come along, and initially even myself were relatively concerned, and even I went, oh, this doesn't look good. And didn't really know what way to turn. I think some of the moves that the government made, or international superpowers made, banning certain medical products such as ivermectin, made me extremely suspicious. And that's when I started digging. And that has really led me on my journey, I guess. Yeah, but on farm, are you talking about on farm, Don?
Yeah, and around the farm. I mean, you're pretty much, we had to stay home and do your farming inside. You know, there wasn't much contact at that point, I imagine, although it may have been different in South Otago. You may have been a bit more lax, but certainly closer to town, we were certainly pressured to stay home.
So probably it didn't affect things that much on far, the social aspect. Well, not like it did people in town, because we still farmed away. We were still, what do they call it, criticals.
Critical workers, yeah.
So we had to keep doing what we were doing, and the contractors that serviced us basically kept doing what they were doing for us. I didn't need a lot of outside contractors, but where it really did start affecting me is my operation here is trading with capital stock, but I buy in a reasonable amount of stock. So I weren't able to go to Lawnville stock sale, but that was no big deal. I got around that. But the freezing works weren't able to kill stock. So I'm 250 hectares to put it in perspective, and I had 80 bulls that were supposed to go away to the works. We couldn't get them away. I just had a unit, another 700 lambs come in on a unit load that was supposed to go to Canterbury in 3 weeks. Well, that Canterbury thing was cancelled. And then I had, 1,500 lambs of my own that were to go to the works. And it's only the second time in my farming career, because I'm fairly self-sufficient and technically minded, that I used the free service of Beef and Lambs Farm Consultant, because I didn't know what way to turn. I couldn't get any numbers. I didn't know what numbers to use for product prices. So that might give you an idea of the level of stress that we're under.
Yep. And we are speaking now in March 2024. And 2 years ago, I think the article from Rural Life is from 26 March 2022. Feed bales slashed an overnight attack, and that were on your property, Andrew. So yeah, what happened there? You obviously caught some attention.
Yeah, there was another property down the valley that was more visual. But they were slashed at the same time. The other person and myself were well aware that if we wanted to voice our views, in my case, it was Wake Up New Zealand.
So that's what was written on the hay bales that were bang on the side of the road.
Yes, basically just saying, New Zealanders, you need to be aware of what's actually going on here. I can't remember what the bales were down the valley, but it wasn't something offensive.
So Wake Up NZ, that doesn't sound, terribly extremist to me.
No, it's pretty mainstream, but for someone who didn't believe there was a problem, there was obviously people around that didn't believe there was a problem and thought that we were wrong, but pretty simple in my view. If you think there's a problem, you stand up and you speak your piece and you take the consequences. Michael and I were well aware that there could be consequences and quite frankly didn't care. I had an absolutely wonderful neighbour, Cody, next door to me. He had his own wrapper. He rang me that afternoon and he said, I'll be up. I can't come at the moment. I'll be up at 6 o'clock. And he wrapped them for me, just like that. Job done.
Fantastic. Yeah. That's what good neighbours are for. But isn't it interesting how you had to endure even that sort of invasion of property? It's a property invasion. Anywhere else there would have been consequences, but no, not in South Otago, not to a farmer. We just don't have that level of, public feeling that it can happen to somebody else in the city. If it was desecrating a playground or something like that, it would all hell would break loose. But because it was just a few bales on the side of the road with some messaging on it, you get approached and attacked. But no one comes to help you but your neighbour. No, police didn't come to help.
Yeah, no, the police come.
Okay.
They took fingerprints and all the rest of it, but
anything come of it?
No, it does seem odd that, it was suggested that one day it will come out at the rugby club rooms or it'll come out somewhere what happened, but it hasn't. But I don't care. I mean, I just did what I thought was right.
Yeah. Well, you did. And you're a very self-determined and self sort of reliant person, having known you for about 25 years. And the ongoing sentiment in the district with your suppliers or with the people you might buy and trade from, has that settled down or are you still having tensions about where you might, for instance, process your animals?
No, that's completely settled down. And in fact, I think it's okay if I say the agent that I work through has not directly, but I got the impression has realised that there is something going on here. Yeah. And we had a stern discussion, but some of my beliefs didn't line up with what the meat buyers or the company believed, and it was said to me that, well, you might have to have a certain procedure to be able to supply the meat company, and my reply was, well, I better go and buy a whole lot of 22 ammo because that won't be happening in relation to, well, I just simply won't be doing that, end of story.
Yeah, that's pretty clear speaking there.
Yeah, pretty clear. So in the end analysis, you got through it on your own terms, but with some lots of tensions. Now, going back to, your own personal demeanour, how did that play with you? Because I sort of know how coercive people around me were. And while, that's how they were scared, has it had a long-term effect on relationships that you may have with people and with yourself and your own mental state?
No, probably not. Within my family, there was people that weren't, there was family members that weren't on the same page initially, and they were close family members, and it was agreed not to talk about it. And then eventually they did come and approach me and talk about it. And like a lot of New Zealanders have sort of went, oh, you know, things have changed and we now have similar thoughts. Maybe not, yeah, just there's been a lot of people change, and I think we would all agree when the situation in Wellington with the protest happened and our government set the police on New Zealanders, an awful lot of New Zealanders went, this is not right. This is simply not right. You don't use your own police force to set and let them loose on the public of your own country. It's just you don't do it. Yeah. So when they did that, that was actually a good thing for New Zealand because a lot of people went, well, what's going on?
Yeah. Now, before those, you know, before that March incident of the salvage bales, there had been, I know other people from, and some good people who, upstanding citizens such as Brody Dodds and others, and you and others who were very actively, who are not shy about expressing their views. I'm talking about October, November, December 2021, when the mandates came in for some of the farming organizations like Farmlands and others. And there were protests, very active protests in Balclutha. And have things gone back to normal there? Have you ever have those people with whom, you know, at that time I would expect things would have been tense, have they ever spoken about what's happened?
Well, Farmlands has such a high turnover of staff, all those staff are gone anyway. So, but in simple terms, one of the other key people from down the valley, they have actually sold their farmland shares and don't trade with Farmlands. Like, I understand there's quite a few people have, out of principle, have said no.
Yep.
If you got to remember that in the farmland situation, we actually had farmland staff come to us and ask for help because they were told that they had to have a certain medical procedure.
Yep.
And so that's actually how we started.
A lot of water under the bridge in all these years.
Yeah, so it wasn't, it was just how dare you force somebody to do something that they don't want to. We're in a free country. You let people decide for yourself, for themselves. And we as farmers are shareholders in farmlands, which actually means that us farmers in a roundabout way employ those people. And Michael down the valley and I, well, Michael sort of kicked it off and I followed along and just went, well, not on our watch. We own part of that company and you're not going to, we think it's wrong. And then the same thing actually happened with Silver Fern Farms. We were kind of minding our own business, I suppose, doing our thing at Farmlands, and then we were approached by staff from Silver Fern Farms and said, can you help us please, because we're terrified, we've got mortgages, we need to work, but there's no way we want a certain thing. So it was about supporting them really and not necessarily having a view on whether they should or shouldn't have a certain medical procedure. That's it's more about you can do whatever you like, but your employer shouldn't have the right to tell you what to do.
Exactly. And it was all being done, I remember going back, you know, it's for a customer's safety. And it was for the whole PCBU thing, the person in charge of a business unit, and all those laws that we thought were there to protect us got so weaponized against the very ones they were supposed to protect. Now, 2 years, 3 years later, Andrew, looking back, has there been an impact on your business? You still live and work in the same valley, and you were not shy about expressing your opinions then publicly about what you thought. Has there been a long-term impact?
Well, there's been positive and negatives, because I am probably known quite a bit, not in a big way, but I'm probably known quite a bit better now, because I stood up for my view. Whether you think I'm right or not is not the, the point is that I stood up for what I thought was right.
Yep.
And then impacts, well, yes, probably, but I'll never know for a matter of fact. But
if that was it, yep.
I sourced a compost actually from a certain place, and I were told, but I don't know for sure, I were told that, no, we don't want to do business with you. And I just sort of joined the dots a little bit, but I don't know, join the dots and go, oh, well, they don't want to, probably because I rattled their cage. But I'm happy to have rattled their cage, because, well, me and 85 other people that voiced their concerns, because we know from inside the plant what effect we had. We were told from right in the bowels of the plant that it gave staff hope. And in fact, in the end, Silver Fern Farms didn't mandate. So I feel that that's significant, very, very significant. And Silver Fern Farms has got, depending on when, 6,000 to 7,000 staff.
Wow.
And Alliance apparently were lining up behind Silver Fern Farms to consider their options.
Yep.
This is just, and this is what we were told.
Mm-hmm.
And to see how much trouble Silver Fern Farms got into. And I guess if Silver Fern Farms got away with it, Alliance might have had a go too.
Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah, we've got a short memory, haven't we? Thanks for reminding me of that, Andrew, because I'd forgotten that. I recall a sector that I was involved in waited till they sort of all got their thoughts together through their industry organisations and came down, lowered the boom on every organisation under that organisation, whether you wanted to or not. Different ownership structures, but we all got drawn into the same net. So, yeah, good that you've got that memory, because that's part of the problem here, Jaspreet. The knowledge that happened in those years, it can just be lost. And that's why it's very important that listeners have their input into this COVID inquiry review document, you know, ahead of March 24. Get your memory going and make sure that you have your say, where the terms of reference for this inquiry that was set up after the coalition agreement, was it after or just prior? Anyway, I'm not sure. They were deficient. They haven't got a wide enough scope. So we're trying to, with RCR and VFF and others, trying to widen the scope of this inquiry. So we just implore listeners to be brave, like Andrew is today, and put their feedback in by March 24th and make sure we get this stuff all on the table.
I don't really know that it's being brave. It's just actually, there's a point where you just have to do the right thing and stand up. And if you have, just go, well, just got to do the right thing. And I think there's people out there who go, oh, it's too hard, or I don't know what to do. Well, you actually just have to go along to these things. When Groundswell have their thing, you have to go and support them. Otherwise, it just doesn't work. Nothing's going to change unless you support it.
And it does take influences. I watch a guy we interview from Western Australia, Tony Seabrooks, his name. He runs the Pastoral and Graziers Association over there, pastoralists and graziers. And he, I watched him the other night on a clip where he was debating with someone who's quite activist. And Tony's argument was, you've got to make sure you get your team working with you before you pull the trigger on stuff. And that's how he works, Whereas a lot of us on the other side want to be activist, and you quite often get isolated. So it is about building that team. And it's hard to do. It's really hard to do and be united. I mean, I've been, this last week, I've been to a couple of funerals, actually. Mm. And I look around. I know it's a strange thing to do, but I scope the people there and I make an assumption. None of them are as concerned or even have a passing thought about this stuff now. They just don't.
Yeah, you put and it, it wasn't pleasant memories.
Yep, it's disappointing, but I'm sure they've moved on. And we've just got to say, why? Why have you moved on? There's that much here that happened to you that you should accept that other people are fighting a battle on your behalf and come along with us, is what I would say to them. But, you know, I don't want to sound too negative about it. I was disappointed with my own thoughts. They were negative thoughts about it. Why aren't these people as wrapped up in this as many of us are? And I put it down to this, Andrew. People don't value the rights of an individual. They just don't value their own rights, and as much as I do, and that's the issue.
Yep, team of 5 million.
Yeah, I think that's – there'll be some people might put us or me or whatever you like into a category, but my driver was freedom. You should be allowed to decide what you want to do with yourself, with your own body. And that's really, whether you did or didn't, I don't care, whatever you choose, that's your choice. But no one can tell you. And that's what got under my skin.
True enough. And, you know, when I started remembering that I even fought or used a Bill of Rights when I was involved with Federated Farms, we used to talk about the Bill of Rights, and I went back and did a bit of my own research, and I'm absolutely convinced New Zealand's Bill of Rights was breached many ways.
Yeah.
And that's when I got concerned that as a company director, my own legal liability was being perhaps pushed to its edge, and I wasn't comfortable about it.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And I think that's a great note to end this. And for me, just as Andrew said, it is about freedom, and it is about going into, you know, the corners of your mind, wherever you've stored away those memories which have not been very pleasant, and putting your pen to paper and submitting to this inquiry before 24th. As a mother, there's one thing I can say. I know for sure the battles I refuse to fight, my children inherit. And that is something I just cannot go along with. Hopefully, listening to these two good gentlemen around me, Andrew and Don, you found something within you that compels you to put your thoughts to paper before the 24th of March. Thank you so much for joining us, Andrew.
Just one last thing. The worst thing that a good man can do is nothing. So nothing is not a good option for a good man in relation to submitting to the COVID inquiry or in relation to supporting Groundswell or whoever when the time comes. Don't moan about it, just go and support them.
Mm. Absolutely. The worst you can do is nothing. So that's why here's your call to something. Submit to this inquiry before 24th.
Keeping the COVID inquiry honest, it's time for the inquiry sessions.